Gemara, the only possible context in which it can rise, at least from the get-go, is Bava Kama Yitzchak. When I'm alive, I have to study Torah. When I'm alive, I have to study mitzvahs. Now, one way to gauge which is more important is for alive people. What would be the question to gauge which is more important for a live person, Torah or mitzvahs? In theory, no? Right. Excellent. If you're learning Torah, should you stop for a mitzvah? Now, hint, hint, spoiler, we already know the halacha to that. You have to stop. Shabbos and Moed Katan, which we'll read. So all those who are going to say that mitzvahs are superior to Torah, they've got an easy walk through that gemara. If someone's going to say, look at me, Torah is more important, he's going to have some splaining to do. If Torah is more important, why can't you learn Torah at the cross of mitzvahs? So we'll see that. So right off the bat, we know one way to gauge which is more important is not Asher, whether, oh, I'll take Torah, and I'll choose. Torah or Mada, I'll take Mada, and I'll choose Mada, you choose Torah. It's not a choice. Torah and mitzvahs, you choose both. How do you know which is conceptually, axiologically more important? Okay, what if you're learning Torah, do you stop? So for live people, there are very few ways to prove which is more important, because you and I have to study Torah, you and I have to learn mitzvahs. Maybe we could think about, if I'm learning Torah, can I take a pass on a mitzvah? But the Gemara in Bava Kama is not talking about live people, it's talking about dead people. And not practically, but conceptually. What is the highest praise we could give someone? Why is that important? Like, it's a theoretical question. Because we will reserve the highest praise for the most accomplished during their husband. Right? Rav Aaron would always bemoan. This is something in Mirat Hashem you'll appreciate as you get older. Now, you haven't been to too many hespedim, but there is a tendency in some circles to homogenize hespedim, where every hesped sounds like the other. And if that person was a gadol, that means he has to check every box, and every box has to be checked. Not only were they a Talmid Chacham, they were Baal Midos, not only were they Baal Midos, but they were Makubo, and Makubo, the great Chazan, and Makubo, and Baal Chesed, and the Mida, this Mida, that Mida, that Mida. And Merv Aaron was very, very troubled by it, because it just blurs, and it obfuscates, and it muddles, and you don't appreciate the person. And have sister appreciate the person, give that person cover for their life. Now, that doesn't mean you want to say at the hesped, oh, he was this, and he wasn't that. Famous story. Everyone wake up, Henry, because I'm actually pausing the recording. That didn't occur. Didn't happen. Okay, it's not recorded. The point is, a hesped is meant to capture someone, and if everyone has every trait, then it just becomes hesped by numbers. You know, connect the dots, he's this, 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 and the other. You don't appreciate people. Again, shouldn't be overt, he was this and not that. And the Rav has some very, if you want to look at this as a safer call, I know we get it, because they keep taking the Rav's Torah and recycling them in different Svarim. There's a safer Yesod HaYachid VaHaYachad. The concept of being together and being individual, Yachad and Yachid. And there was a lot of the Rav's Hespedim in that safer. There were four or five of the Rav's. He was an amazing, amazing Maspid. Rosem wasn't any of the Hespedim person, but the Hespedim were just works of art in which he took a person's character and really articulated who that person was specifically. And Rav Aaron would always mourn the fact that, at least in his mind, Hespedim, you could even go, like, in a lot of, I don't know if you've been to Hespedim, but at least in the Israeli world, like, there's even like a chant, nah, 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 like, there's like a tone. And when you start, again, that's the tone that people feel at Hespedim. But when you start talking in that tone, you're already not expressing yourself. You don't talk that way. I'm going to talk to you. Like, you know, pass me the salt. Pass me the salt. Pass me. So when you start adopting a musical framework, and I don't mean musical like, you know, the Beatles, I mean like a mournful, soulful, musical accompaniment to your Hespedim, it's obviously going to be more artificial and formulaic than it's going to be personal. And by and large, if you go to, let's say, Hespedim in our world, no one is really using that tone. They're talking about the person. Obviously, they're crying, and obviously, they're sad. And I said, but there's no, like, you have to have that tone. Again, it's like everything else. Is it? I talked about this before, right? Haredi is a very, very coded society. This is the code to dress. This is the code of where we shop. This is the code. Like, it's very, very culturally coded. And the strength of cultural coding is, you know, how to belong, and these are the rules, and you follow the rules, and it's not up to personal discovery and expression. This is the way we do. And in that larger framework of code, you then find yourself and your personal identity. Whereas our world is not coded, and the danger of our world is, you know, you find whatever you want. So, you know, you walk wherever you want to go. The advantage, when it succeeds, is as much it can enable more authentic and personal discovery, because you're not limited to a certain route that you have to take. So everyone has to choose which route they feel more comfortable with in an honest way. So this is just one example. So the question in Bava Kama, getting all the way back to Bava Kama. And we'll pass that little rant, that little sidebar. A lot of sidebars today. Oh, I forgot. I took all the other Gemaras except Bava Kamma. I'm going to borrow your Bava Kamma. Thank you. Gemara in Bava Kamma, Yud Zayin, talks about the Hesbit of Chizki HaMelech. Chizki HaMelech was one of the, who are the two righteous kings in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash? Chizkiah and Yoshiah. Those are like the two righteous kings until it all fell apart. So Chizkiah is right at the end. Remember, Chizkiah more or less lives through the Aseret HaShvatim when he is saved from Ashur, Sancheirib Melech Ashur, in that miraculous event when 185,000 soldiers were killed Pesach night in a miracle. And we're hoping for similar Nisim in today's situation, similar to Chizkiah, Mishan and Chizkiah, Hu Yaneinu. That was after Chizkiah basically demolished the north. He had gone through the north and basically wiped it out, taking all the people and resettled them elsewhere. And then he had his eyes set on Yerushalayim, and Baruch Hashem, we were saved, and the Churban was forestalled. Okay, so Chizkiah passes away, and obviously it's a major, major event. Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa records his eulogy. V'kvar asalo b'moso, ze Chizkiah melech Yehuda. Sheyatzeh lefanav shloshim sheshev chusikaseh, 36,000 people in front of his coffin. Sir Bechemia says, that's not enough. They did it for Achav also. But they put a Sefer Torah on his bed, and they said that on his deathbed, Kim Zem Ashikasa Bazeh. Now the question is, what about today? So now we know what happened in Chizkiah. They didn't just have 36,000 people running in front, but they actually put the Sefer Torah on his bed. They said, Kim Zeh, Ved, Namiv Din Hachi. We do this for a righteous person. Afuki Mafkinan. We take out the Sefer Torah. Anuche Laman Chim. I can put it on the death, but that was Chizkiah. That was, first class. Gemara says, another day is by Sema. Look at this, put it on the top. We're not going to say Kiyim Zem HaShakasim, but no one's perfect. Chizkiah was close to perfect. We'll say Kiyim. We're not going to say. So now Rabbi Baruch Hanna says, he was asking Rabbi Yochanan, he asked him the following questions. He was in the bathroom, and Rabbi Yochanan finally answered him after he got out of the bathroom. Look at the 20th line, first word on the line, Kiyim Amrinan. No, even for a regular garden variety contemporary tzaddikim, you'll say he fulfilled what was written in the Torah. But that highest superlative praise of learning what was written in the Torah while the Torah is on the deathbed of the righteous person, now we're going to reserve only for Chizkiah or Chizkiah territory, Chizkiah-like people, and maybe film the go, whatever. So it seems like that when we're giving a hesped, the highest, most exquisite, surpassing praise that we can give someone when looking back at their life, we're not talking about what you should do today at 3 o'clock, you got to do Torah mitzvahs. We're saying when a person is nifter, and we're trying to capture their life, the highest praise, and even though someone learns, he may not have reached Chizkiah level, but Chizkiah level, the highest praise is that person learned Torah. Nothing can surpass that. So we'll bring out a Sefer Torah, maybe if we find 36,000 people who run in front of the Kever, put the Sefer Torah on the deathbed, we'll say he fulfilled the Torah. We're not going to say Lima, that's only for Chizkiah type people. So what does it sound like at this point? What's the highest praise? What's the highest value? Talmud Torah or mitzvos? No? What's the highest praise, which is reserved only for Chizkiah type people? Talmud Torah. To which Gemara says, wait a second, how could that be true? How could that be true? The Amar Mar, here's the stira. Well, it's not really a stira, it's a brisa. God olim utara shalim and maybe the day maisa. If I say, oh, Gabi is a great, 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 great boy in Gush. We love him. Why? Because he helps Henry stay awake and chill. So who's more important to me? Henry, Gabi. Yeah, Gabi, we need you to be an alarm clock for Henry. So God Olima Shalima, maybe the day might say, what makes Torah so great, helps you do mitzvah. Sounds like Kima mitzvah is the highest value. Now again, this is a very, very abstract phrase as opposed to practical questions. What praise do we offer people when they die? But that's the Gemara's question from the Chizkiah debate and the Chizkiah conclusion to this brisa. Gemara says, again, a vague answer, lo kasha, halamigmar halagmuri. The simple way that most Rishonim took is, Talmud Torah may be inferior to mitzvahs. But teaching Torah, becoming a mechanic, teaching Torah is the highest degree. Halamigmar, learning may be less than maisim, that's the gadol limud shemevi l'idei maisa, but teaching is the highest value. Who read the Gemara the way I just read it? The stira is obvious. On the one hand, by reserving Talmud Torah as the highest praise only for select people, it sounds like Talmud Torah is the highest. This phrase, God olimu etzalim, and maybe the maisa sounds like maisa is more important, right? Gavi is important because he helps Henry. Torah is important because it leads to mitzvot.
And the answer is, you're right. Torah is Talmud. Torah is less than mitzvos. But mitzvos is less than teaching. Who learned the Gemara that way? The simple way to read the Gemara?
Rashi.
That's the simple way. If I didn't have any other Gemara in Shas, that would be the way I'd read Rashi. I'd read this Gemara. Let's read Rashi. Gemara says, Mevi lide maisa, alma maisa adif. From this phrase, Gadol Talmud, Talmud Mevi de maisa, right? Sounds like Henry's more important than Gabi, maisa B is more important than A. Limud helps maisa, maisa is more important than Limud. So this is stira. How could you say the Talmud Torah is the highest praise reserved for only superlative people when they go to this Brisa says that maisa is more important? It's the B of the A. Limud is more than the least of maisa. The answer is Hala Migmar Rashi Liatzmo. When it comes to evaluating learning maisa adif avlik murilachrini adif mi maisa hilkach limud larminin. Again, I skipped one. I left out one bit of information, and therefore, if the math works as follows, look at the math. This is the math, right? Talmud Torah is less than Maisa. Maisa is less than Limud Acher. Okay, maybe I should do it the other way. I'm still using math right to left Hebrew. The year should be Talmud Torah, less than Maisa, less than Limud, right? I'm thinking in Hebrew. Which is good. It's still probably thinking in English, so it's probably easy to understand. Right? You know, less to more, ascending value. So, this is what the Brisa says. Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. And this is reserved for Chizkiya. Namely, anyone that passes will say, is it mitzvos, Maisa, as Rabba Barbara called it, we do say Kiyim. And if we say Kiyim Asher, then of course we'll say he learned, because Kiyim HaMitzvos is even more impressive than learning. So all this is regular Hespedim. And this is the Hesped of Chizkiya plus. So this whole story in the Gemara was Hespedim. One of them. Whereas if we're evaluating, and Hespedim reflects the value system. There's no difference. This value system influences how we're Masbid people. This is the cutoff point for Hespedim of normal people. This is the Hespedim for special people, Chizkiya plus. It reflects the hierarchy. Talmud Torah, less than Maisa, less than Limud. Most people get these two. Chizkiya gets more. And that's what the Brisa said. It also reflects the Brisa. Gadol Talmud, you know what makes Gabi so important? Because he helps Henry. But Alex is differently. Not because he helps Henry. Alex is just Levi. Like, you're the Levi. Right? This doesn't have to be justified. This has to be justified as at least in Maisa. Oh, you know what makes Talmud Torah so great? At least in Maisa. Limud Torah, you don't have to talk about why it's more important. Okay? This is Shitas Rashi. What's the problem with Rashi? Makes perfect sense. Why can't we go to the base Medrash now? Join Azaria. Why can't we go? Just in a good mood today. Why can't we go to the base Medrash now? You saw David?
Kiddush.
Kiddushin quotes the same phrase, but it doesn't seem like you can read the phrase the way Rashi read the phrase. Rashi read the phrase, Gabi's great because he helps Henry. Talmud Torah is great because it helps mitzvahs. That's the way Rashi read the phrase, and that's the flow of the Gemara in Bava Kamma. That's why the Gemara used this phrase to ask the steer on Chizkiya. You say that for Chizkiya, we talk about Talmud Torah, not Maisim. What do you mean? Maisim is more important than Talmud Torah based on the phrase, Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisim. In Kiddushin, let's all move over to Kiddushin. In Kiddushin, the Gemara quotes the same phrase, but the Gemara has two words that we don't have in Bava Kamma. What are the two words we don't have in Bava Kamma? Makes it clear. Okay, let's read the Gemara, see if we can pick it out. They were getting together in an attic in Beit Nitza. Nitza is probably the name of the person. Why were they in attics? Probably Romans, they're hiding from the Romans, so a lot of attic learning. And they say, I want to learn in an attic, it's nice and hot up there. I don't have air conditioning, but they had to hide. So they're up in an attic, Balios Beis Nitza. They're learning in an attic in Lod. Nishala Shela Zubifneim. Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol? Seems like the Gemara was trying to wrap its head, right? We don't have this articulation in Bava Kamma. What's the highest value, Talmud or Maisa? So, Nene Reb Tarfon, our friend Reb Tarfon from Chatzi Nezek, is only Rishus HaRabim, but Karen Rishus HaYachad is Nezek Shalem, our friend Reb Tarfon.
And he sounded like he agreed with Rashi. My son, if mitzvahs are more important. Nen, Rabbi Akiva, v'amar Talmud adif, it's more important to learn. Netnu kulam v'amro, Rabbi Akiva's right. Talmud, these words, Talmud adif. Talmud gadol. It doesn't say gadol Talmud. It says Talmud gadol. In wake of the debate, what's adif? And how do they know that Talmud is adif, like Rabbi Akiva? Gadol, Talmud, maybe the Maisa. So what everyone's saying in that attic, what's the highest value between Maisim and Talmud Torah? What did they say? Talmud. They said Talmud Alima. Talmud Adif, like Rabbi Akiva said. So how can Rashi read our Gemara based on this hierarchy in which Talmud Torah is less than Maisim? Learning it from that strange phrase that Gabi is important because he helps Henry, Talmud's important because he helps Maisa. The Gemara in Kiddushin says very, very clearly, Talmud, okay, Ptarifa maybe holds like Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, and they all joined in with the chorus, look, Rabbi Akiva, Talmud, Adiv, Shat Talmud, maybe the day Maisa. Steer. Tosas and Baba Kama. Let's see, Tosas and Baba Kama is also Tosas and Kiddushin, but since we're learning Baba Kama, he quotes Rashi, Yud Zayin, Perish Bekuntris, Alma Maisa Adif in Argimar. Vekash Rabbeinu Tam. We have a lot of Rashi's descendants today. We'll meet a lot of Rashi's descendants. Kash Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson. The other Rabbi Mehacha, Daik Sa Perakam the Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin uses the same phrase. Limud Gadol Mi Maisa. Gavizikanim Shayim Subim, Balez Beis Nitzah, Velod. Interesting. They were having a meal. Not Bnei Brak, but in Lod. Okay. Vinishal Ashela Zubifnam, Limud Gadol Maisa Gadol, Vininu Kumam Limud Gadol Shayim De Maisa. Steer against Rashi. Today we're going to focus on the primary way to solve this steer. How could Baba Kama say, according to Rashi, Maisa is more important than Talmud? Talmud Torah. And the Gemara Kedushin seems to say that Talmud Torah is more important than Maisim, Talmud Adif. Most Rishonim answer for Rashi, Tzvei Dinim. Baba Kama is talking about one thing, Kedushin is talking about another thing. Can anyone tell me what the two differences are? Conceptually. Think of words. Try to already think abstractly. Baba Kama is talking about Kedushin is talking about don't give me sentences. Give me a short phrases. See if you can capture it. Avi.
Kedushin is saying you should do Baba Kama talking about what you should praise.
Okay, very good. 90% there. Say the second part better. Baba Kama is talking about okay, that's not as abstract as I want. That's the application, but it's reflective of what category?
Objectively.
Objective value. Theoretic value, abstract. What's the highest value? So, Baba Kama is one of fancy word axiological, but you don't have to be that fancy. Theoretical evaluation. Kiddushin is, give me one word.
Practical.
Very good. Okay? See what I'm trying to get you to do, Avi? To take sentences and turn them into headlines, categories. If you want to think in categories, you have to have words to capture categories. Hear what I just said? If you don't have words to capture categories, it's very hard to build categories. You just have sentences. Sentences aren't categories. Sentences are bylines. Categories are, it's halacha and this, it's halacha and this, it's halacha and this. Every category has a title. It's halacha and chetz, agarpa, whatever. Whatever the categories are. The more you're able to build those words, the quicker you are able to build categories. Yeah, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but that's how you think abstractly. Not just in Torah, but in every abstract area. Okay, try to build those words. Namely, according to Rashi, which is the primary Gemara? Definitely think about it. Which does he turn, listen to this before you go, does he turn Kiddushin into Baba Kama? Does he turn Baba Kama into Kiddushin? Which is the primary? Which is, well, that's just a second, different case. Which is reflective of which is the more important value? Baba Kama. Fundamentally, top of the parking lot. What's more important? Mitzvahs. Kiddushin, that's just a separate question. We'll see how the Rishonim that will reverse the trend. And that leads us. So we're going to walk out of this year and say, like, okay, forget all the terutzim, all the solutions. What's the most important value? Yes, Rashi, it will be Maisim. And that's why Noam, Chizkia, alone, everyone will get Maisim, and everyone will get Torah. That's why you can't say, oh, Chizkia gets Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is less than Maisim. Chizkia's praise has to be something else teaching. But if you ask Rashi, what's the highest value, supreme value? Maisa, mitzvahs. And therefore, it's impossible, Zev, to say that Chizkiyah's superlative praise is Talmud Torah, because it's less than Maisa. And everyone gets Maisa, so everyone must get Talmud Torah, so therefore, Chizkiyah's superlative praise has to be something else. Here's a good shortstop. Okay, when I can say that, he taught Torah. That's the value that only he gets. Kiddushin will find a solution. Practical advice. Who says this? Who did you see says this? Anyone see this? Okay. Shita Mekubetzes, Pnei Yehoshua, to the degree of Beinu Peretz. In Kiddushin, they weren't asking theoretically or retrospectively what's the highest value. In Kiddushin, they were asking what should a person prioritize practically. And the answer was you should prioritize Talmud. Even though, according to Rashi, Maisa is greater than Talmud Torah, why? What does Rashi himself say? He doesn't say what, he doesn't give us the category, but we can reverse engineer the category. Why is Talmud to be prioritized practically in Kiddushin, even though in Bava Kamma it's a lesser value because mitzvos are a higher value? Why should you prioritize in your day to day learning over mitzvos? What? And the thing is, what's Rashi's language in Kiddushin? Shat Talmud mevi l'dei Maisa, nimsu shen beyado. If I ask you what's more important, we'll say it's more important to do mitzvahs. They're asking what should you do right now? You should learn, because learning is a necessary precondition to mitzvahs, and you'll have both. There really are two things here. Number one is Rashi is that Talmud will give you both. Number two is, then not only will Talmud give you both, but without Talmud, your mitzvahs will be lacking. Why will your mitzvahs be lacking without Talmud?
You don't know properly.
You don't know what to do. But not only do you don't know what to do, how else does Talmud affect mitzvahs? Not just what to do, but
better.
Do better. I'll never forget the first time I experienced Chag HaSukkos after I learned Masech HaSukkah with Avaron. It was a completely different experience. I knew what a lulav was, and I knew the symbolism behind it. I knew the halachas behind lulav, and the halachas behind sukkah. So it wasn't just that I knew what to do. I could learn that from our scroll handbook. But the mitzvahs were alive, because every mitzvah I was performing, all the rishonim and all the echronim and all the svaras and all the chakiras came streaming through. So it's a completely different mitzvah. In a way, they probably won't get that much this year because we're not learning brachos and we're not learning sukkah, at least now. To a degree, chulim have a little bit of it, and hopefully you eat kosher meat, but you're still removed from the process because you're not the shochet, you're just the consumer. But obviously, it's all related. If I understand Hashem's ratzon better, then I feel closer to Hashem. Was Hashem, then I put on tefillin tomorrow, somebody will come is helping me in my relationship. That's what we're trying to find a solution for in yeshiva, or the pathway for in yeshiva. Take a look at the Tosfos Rihazakin in Babaka in Kiddushin. Who was the Tosfos Rihazakin? Anyone know? Okay. Tosfos Rihazakin was the Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, Rashi's great grandson, one of the earliest Balei Tosfos, 12th century. Okay, let's get some genealogy. Who was the power couple that produced most of the Balei Tosfos, or numerous Balei Tosfos? A power couple. Not two celebrities from Hollywood, but two great people in the 12th century of France, early 12th century or late 11th century. Right, Yocheved is Rashi's daughter, one of Rashi's daughters, married Meir. Okay? Meir Bar Shmuel was his name. So Meir marries Yocheved. And Meir and Yocheved have four children. Tell me there are four children. Okay, the easy one is one a boy named Yaakov, who became known as Benutam. Next easiest one is Shmuel, who became known as Rashbam. Okay, so now we get through the four children. Boy number three was a boy named Yitzchak, who was affectionately known as Rivam. Benu Yitzchak Bar Meir, his father was Meir, married to Yocheved's Bas Rashi, Bas Shlomo. Okay, I think he died early, that's why we have fewer tells us in the Rivam. The fourth child was a girl. We don't really know her name, but Masara makes it sound like her name was Miriam. Okay, her name is Miriam. She was the girl, princess in the family. Miriam marries, is it Yitzchak or Yaakov of Vitri? Shmuel of Vitri. Shmuel of Vitri is the son of Rabbeinu Simcha of Vitri, who wrote the Machzor of Vitri, a Talmud of Rashi. So there's a lot of Rashi, the genes, Everyone's thrilled. That was a Masar of Rashi in the house, right? Like you speak to Talmidim of the yeshiva now, that's the second generation. They feel that they grew up, you know, if you speak to, let's say, some of the boys in Shir Aleph that grew up in Gush homes, and the boys here that grew up in the parents, there's a real Masara, like where Aaron made Kiddush and the Chumras and the Ravami, like they grew up on the tunes and the sounds. Like my kids will say that our Chinuch, even though they didn't really learn by Rav Aaron, was very, very deeply influenced by Rav Aaron and Rav Amital and the Gush Masara. Again, each generation it changes. So you can imagine what's happening at these tables. Like, okay, my grandfather was Rashi. I'm like, so Miriam marries Shmuel of Vitri, and their son is Yitzchak, who becomes one of the earliest Tassus in, and we call him the Rihazaken, or he's the Rian Tassus. So he's a major, major, major. So he is, can anyone figure it out? He is Rabbeinu Tam's? The Rihazaken is Rabbeinu Tam's? What? He said it? Nephew. Rabbeinu Tam, Yaakov's sister, is Miriam. Miriam and Shmuel of Vitri have a child named Yitzchak. So this is Rabbeinu Tam's nephew. Okay, and he factors in Tosas, but on Kiddushin, he wrote a separate Tosas, which was recorded as Tosas Rihazakin. Okay, so there's your genealogy. Tosas Rihazakin in Kiddushin says, Kalomar, Shemisha Yodea, HaTorah, Ose HaMitzvos, V'yari Min HaChatoyim, B'Shlemos. Doesn't sound like you need Torah to do mitzvahs. Just find out from your Abba how to take a lulav. Find out from your mom how to kasher the chicken. Find out. No, B'Shlemos. How can the mitzvahs be deeper and richer? Did I give you the Me'iri to see in Bava Kama?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lashon like that in the Me'iri, right? What's the lashon of Me'iri? Does he think he talks about that also? It's not just practical. See the Me'iri. Now, give the Me'iri Moed Katan, not in Bava Kama. So I'll read you the Me'iri's lashon, if I can find it in my notes. The Me'iri's lashon is, listen to this language, you ready? Misha Yesha, Shatamud Miyape Esamaisa, Miyape. It enhances, like Yofi, Miyape Samaise, Umashlimo, and it completes it, Bishlemus. The mitzvah mehuderes, Yoser, Kisha Yotzes mi piha yoga in Yana. Okay, so another question. Why are you here in Yeshiva? You know what tzitzis are? Certainly now. You know what a luav is? You buy matzah in the local matzah bakery, like you're gonna lead a completely from life. Even without learning or certainly at this level. Just let's go through Mishneh Berurah, go through Pinin Halacha, you'll know what to do. So one answer to that question is, you're not here only to keep halacha on this earth. In 120 years, no one's going to keep halacha. So you're here for 120 years from now when you're going to be in the Olam HaMS, and there's no mitzvahs, but there's Torah, which is eternal. So you want to make sure you prepare for the long term, not just for the short trip. But even in this world, you want to be someone that eats matzah because you know what matzah is, you know halachos, you know what the logic is behind the halachos, you know what a lulav is, you know what nida is, you know... Or, you know, tell me what to do and when to do it, even if you can sustain that. But it's hard to sustain that multi-generationally if you don't invite so many people leave religion because no one takes the time to explain rituals and experiences to them. It just feels like voodoo and tribalism. So, like, I'm in the modern world. Why don't I do things that don't make sense? Whereas if you tell your son, this is why, I mean, Mass is easy because we have Haggadah. But if you explain why we have this halacha and why we have that halacha, and you're able to discriminate between chumras and non-chumras, and you're basically able to give your children a mature, nuanced, educated approach to keeping halacha and to keeping mitzvahs. It's not voodoo. It's not we do this, we don't do that. It's like, you know, when I was about to get into the car in this past Shabbos. We're sitting at the table. My son got a call. He had to walk around with the phone. He was off. He said, come to the base. We need you. And it was my chance to show my children the halacha. You know, should this one take? Should that one take? They'll have a conversation. Who should take him to the base? And I said, I'm taking him. It's my mitzvah. And I told him the Rambam. The Rambam says that when you you shouldn't tarry, you shouldn't give it to delegates. It should be, the Rav should be the one driving the car. It's not something to be embarrassed about, let the children do it, let the sled. No, this is a mitzvah. Right now, the mitzvah that Hashem wants from me is to get into the car and drive my son to the base and whatever, and wait for... So once, it's not just do this, do that, go to the store, get the matzah, get the lulav, get the esrog, it's also, it's more to... Why is it aser? What's the svara? Is it a chumrah? Is it part of halacha? Can we make you? Do you want to give your kids a compass? You want to be able to sit at the table and not just say, pass the matzah, but give them a navigational compass. This is your chance. Someone that knows what Torah is, right? You know the difference, right? Think about all the people that you knew growing up, maybe your parents, maybe not, but the people in your community who knew Torah. They weren't rabbanim, they weren't necessarily people giving shir, but they knew what they were doing. And think of the people who just, you know, unfortunately, you know, fall to their own paths. We had no clue. And they're just, you know, doing things based on instructions and maybe sometimes very piously. I'm not discrediting it. But it's certainly easier to convey the beauty of our Masorah if you understand what it is. So when the Gemara said in Kiddushin, you should learn because learning leads to mitzvos, it's not just what Rashi said, because you'll have both. So why not do something that will incorporate? If you do mitzvos, you don't have Torah. If you do learn, you'll perform mitzvos. So may as well do both. So what's the highest value of mitzvos? But learn so that you'll have both. But it's not just the both. It's the limud will enhance the mitzvos, will enable the mitzvos, lo hamar etz chassid, but also will enhance the mitzvos. And this is Rashi's solution, says, the Shita Mekubet says in Bava Kamma, says the Pnei Yoshua in Bava Kamma. This is the solution to the stira between Bava Kamma and Kiddush. Which leads to the following interesting nafkamina. Maybe if Bava Kamma is conceptual and objective, as Gabi said, and Kiddushin is practical, maybe Kiddushin's instructions would only apply to certain stages of a person's life. After all, practically, conceptually, what's the most important mitzvah? What's the most important value? Mitzvahs. That's why it's impossible for the Gemara to consider telling about everyone at the Hesper they did mitzvos and telling Chizkiyahu, oh, he learned. What do you mean mitzvos is higher than learning? The Gemara in Kiddushin was practical. Maybe practical advice changes from time to time. Who said this? Rabbi Yishai. What was the conversation in Kiddushin? Who were they talking about? Alex, who were they talking about in Kiddushin? You guys. They were saying, Alex, what should Alex do? Should Alex learn? Or should Alex do Ma'asim Tovim? They weren't necessarily talking about me. I'm an older person. Maybe to me they would say, since Ma'asim Tovim and Mitzvos is higher than Talmud Torah, you should do Mitzvos and Ma'asim Tovim. It's the highest value. And that's why the Gemara couldn't consider an option where everyone has said, oh, he did Mitzvos and Chizkiyahu gets Talmud Torah. That'd be reverse. And being that Mitzvos are superior to Talmud, it's impossible to... But in Kiddushin, they weren't talking about someone in their late 50s. They were talking about you guys when you're young. And when you're young, you try to build gateways that will allow you to walk into everything down the line. It certainly sounds that way from the Yishalmi, and I apologize for not giving you the Yishalmi, but I'll focus that because it's an interesting Yishalmi. I only gave you part of the Yishalmi. But read this Yishalmi because I quoted it before. We've talked about this before, and it's an ongoing tension, as it should be in our yeshiva, because we're in war, and we have Tzarechei Tzibur, and where do we draw the line? It comes up every day in our conversation. We're actually thinking today, I don't know if you heard about sending you to some, you hear, there's a farmer that asked us to send 50 guys to pick fruit and whatever, and we were planning, and just in the end, he canceled. But, this would have, this in some alternate reality, you would have been out no share today picking, because we feel that we have to try to thread the balance. But we're struggling really hard in a healthy struggle to find the balance for you. And that balance for you, right? And the next, when I finish here, I'm going running out to go shopping for an hour, make beds, get ready for my parents, get ready for my game. I have a lot on my plate. But you guys should be in the basement of Shalini, because you don't have grandchildren, you don't have elderly parents, and you don't have to shop for Shabbos. Everything's provided. So you should be trying to learn as best as you can. So take a look at this Yishalmi. I forgot to give it to you, because it's an important Yishalmi. Rabbi Avo, just sent it. It's the beginning of that Yishalmi in Kiddush in Pesachim that I gave you the end of. Rabbi Avo, Shalach Rabbi Chananya Bre Yaski B'Tiveria. Rabbi Avo sent his son to Gush. Okay, he wasn't in Gush. He was in Kisaria. What was in Kisaria? Anyone know their early Jewish history, first century Jewish history? What was in Kisaria? Has anyone ever been to Kisaria? Okay, let's start that way. What makes Kisari such a nice beach to go to? What? Okay. Why does it have big? I think because the Romans settled there. Why the Romans settled there? Because there's a lagoon, right? There's a sea break. All the stones in the middle, so the waves don't come crashing in. So there's a nice big open area of seawater where you don't have to worry about crashes and storms. So it's like a lagoon area, very calm water. So if you go to the beach in Kisari, it's like a nice experience because it's calm water. Anyway, so the Romans established, and of course on the coast, so the Romans, after they invaded Israel, they established their center, their political center, their economic center, their commercial, and out of it they said, oh, now we're here, let's build an amphitheater. They built an amphitheater, not like they said, let's go to the amphitheater. The amphitheater is Roman. They built the amphitheater, and they built a lot of the infrastructure there, which is Roman, fortresses and sea banks, whatever. So a lot of the Jews who were politically engaged, like Rabbi Avo, they lived in Caesarea. But as has often happened, the political centers don't have the most Torah. So he lived in Washington, D.C. There's no yeshiva. He said, go to Gush for the year. So he sent his son, Bray, sent his son of Chanina to Tiberia. Asan Vamrenle said the reports came back. Gamalu Chesed, he's busy his whole day with, you know, he's taking care of Chesed, he's going out to hit Nadvot, he's spending his whole day volunteering. So we've all sent a WhatsApp, Hamibli, okay, he knew the Torah was right in Portak. Hamibli Ain Kivarim Bekisari and Shalachticha to Tiberia. I sent to Tiberia, a place that had big yeshivas. Whose yeshiva was in Tiberia? Like, come on. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a yeshiva in Tiberia because all the Jews had to relocate from the center where the Romans demolished Yerushalayim to relocate to the north. Tiberia, Tzipori, right? Who is the most famous northern Tana? Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Mr. North. He lived up north. Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but of course, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Yochanan, they all had the yeshivas near Tiberia, near Tzipori, and a little bit near Akko, but basically on the, or be the eastern part of, northeastern part of Eretz Yisrael, the North Galil. So he sent to the very wall, the great yeshivas, when he heard he was spending his time burying dead people, or the equivalent. So his father told him, Rivo said, Hamibli ein kivarim bekisarian shlichticha leTiberia. That's why I sent you to Gush, that's why I sent you to Tiberia, to spend your time with Chesed. You could have done that in Caesarea. There's plenty of Chesed doing Caesarea. I sent you to learn Torah. You're my son. I need you to learn at this stage in your life. And to prove his point, Rabbi Avo attached, as a word document, the following story. Shekvar nimnu v'gamru b'aliyas beis aris b'lod. They already had this conversation in Lod in the previous generation. Shat Talmud kodim l'maisa. It sounds like Rabbi Avo is taking this conversation in Kiddushin, in which Talmud comes out on top and saying, for you, my 20-year-old son, that's what they were talking about. For you. You see the contextualization? For you, I want you to learn now. Yes, Azari.
Isn't that less of a general statement and more of a, in your particular circumstance, because you're going here to learn
But it's a corollary of this approach in Rashi. Namely, Rashi could be practical. If it's practical, Kiddushin is practical. It could be practical for everyone, even for me. But it could also be practical at a certain stage. But it's the same, it comes from the same logical root. If I ask what's the highest value, mitzvahs. Baba Kama. That's why the Gemara couldn't accept a reality in which, oh, everyone gets the mitzvah praise and Chizkiya gets the higher praise of Talmud Torah. That's ridiculous, right? Because mitzvahs are more important. Kiddushin is not talking about what's more important. Kiddushin is talking about practically what to do. Practically, you should learn so that you can do mitzvahs as well. Now, that could be for everyone, because after all, learning will enhance your mitzvahs no matter. Or it could just be, you know what, at my stage of the game, do your mitzvahs if it comes to a clash. But when you're young, being that you get both anyway, learn first so that you can have a better life of mitzvahs and better experience of mitzvahs. This is Rashi's pshat. Okay, I see we're getting a little bit late. We'll start. I'll start Rashi. We'll start Rabbeinu Tam. I'll just give you a launching pad for Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the good part of Rashi is, right, what's the highest value? Not asking developmentally, practically, but if I ask just what's the highest value in my mind, Talmud Torah or mitzvahs? Mitzvahs. Which explains the fact that, remember, if we're not talking about dead people, we're not talking about young people, if you're a regular living person, if there's a conflict and a clash between learning and mitzvahs, what should you do? Mitzvahs. Which two Gemaras say you should stop learning from mitzvahs? Shabbos and Moed Katan. Let's read those Gemaras. According to Rashi, easy street. Highest value? Mitzvahs. Highest praise? Mitzvahs. Unless we're talking about teaching Torah, that's beyond. And therefore, I can't accept a reality where the highest praise is learning. No, the highest praise is mitzvahs. Kiddushin was talking about either Azariah at certain points in your life or for your whole life, you should learn because you'll do a mitzvah better. You know, Gavi's great because he's helping out Henry. So. Tom is good because it's going to enhance, it's going to lead to you and have both. Gemara Shabbos. Very famous Gemara in Shabbos. And we'll see the Gemara in Moed Katan just to give us all the background. A lot of background Gemara. There are three or four Gemara. Brother Kama, Kiddushin, Shabbos, and Moed Katan. Yud Aleph and Aleph. Chaverim. Shayoskim batara, people that are learning Torah. Mafsikin l'kriyishma, you can't miss kriyishma, but vein mafsikin l'tfila, but you can skip tefillah. This is a good guy's favorite gemara, right? I don't come to Minyan in the morning because I'm busy learning. Not a good advice. I don't recommend it. Trust me, it's going to backfire. As much as I can tell you, don't listen to anyone else. You'll hear voices. It's not a recipe long term. It's man tara lecha, it's man tefila lecha. Amr b'yochanan. B'yochanan says, skipping tefila for learning, lo shanu el kagon b'shimin b'yochai v'chavera. If you're taras or omnas, so people that learn all day. Avo kagon anu, but normal people like us, says b'yochanan. Okay, I'll always be like b'yochanan. Avo kagon anu, avsikin l'kriya shema v'litfila. You can't say I'm learning, I'm not going to daven. You can't say I'm learning, I'm not going to say Kriya Shema. And you can't say I'm learning, and I'm not going to do a mitzvah. As the Gemara says in Ksivos, anyone learn Ksivos in high school, doesn't make a difference, probably didn't get to this Gemara. Did you get to Daf Chaf? Not Chaf. Yeah, Chaf. Mevatlan tamatar latzas ameis v'lachanesas kal, you got to think of you. Oh, why? He's not a bekis. Gemara says in Ksivos Daf Chaf for your test. Mevatlan tamatar latzas ameis v'lachanesas kal. Okay, Mevatl Tara. To, when you're needed for a kvura, when you're needed for achnas eskala, or for any other mitzvah for that matter, for lulav, matzah, or whatever. You stop tamatara to do mitzvahs. That same idea is expressed with slight qualifications. Maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow. I think Gemara Moed Katan Daf Tesla Beis has a stira. Two psukim initially. In Paragimel, it says that Tara is yikarahim ipninim. It's more precious than diamonds or pearls. The chol chafatzecha lo yishvuva, and whatever you're doing is not more important than Torah. You think the football, and that's a movie, culture, food, not more important than Torah. Chol chafatzecha lo yishvuva. But it sounds like, okay, football isn't more important than Torah. Eating isn't more important than Torah. Taking a break at 1:30 is more important than Torah. But chafetz shemayim are more important than Torah. It's not chafatzecha, but chafetz Hashem, like Torah, like tefillin, mezuzah, lula, matzah. That's more important than Torah. Kol chafatzecha lo yishvuva, but chafetz shemayim are. It sounds like mitzvahs are more important than Talmud Torah, and you should stop Torah for mitzvahs, because it's not chafatzecha. Don't stop Torah for football. Don't stop Torah for food. Don't stop Torah for sleeping, because that's your chafatzecha. But chafetz Hashem are more important. But there's another pasuk in Mishlei Paraches. Kol chafatzim lo yishvuva. Nothing is more important. Kol chafatzim, not chafatzecha lo yishvuva. Kol chafatzim lo yishvuva. That even tefillin mezuzah and lulav matzah isn't more important than Torah, and if it's not more important than Torah, then you should keep learning, even at the cost of these chafetz Hashem. So what is it? If it's your needs are not more important than Torah, but Hashem's needs are more important than Torah, or no needs are more important than Torah, and just keep learning and don't stop. So Gemara says, again, this is a practical Gemara, not a conceptual Gemara. Kan b'mitzah she'ef shalasas de'achayim. Kan b'mitzah she'ef shalasas de'achayim. If it's a mitzvah that other people can attend to, there's enough people at the Levi, there's enough people at the Chasen, there's enough people giving tzedakah. There's not that an ani comes to, I mean, to go out and start organizations. An ani comes to, you have to give tzedakah. I don't care what you're doing. But I'm saying to go out and proactively start it. So you say, I'm learning, and this is a mitzvah that other people will take care of. Whereas, if it's a mitzvah, she'ef shal asas adechem, you're tefillin, you're a lula, I can't say, oh, put a lula for me, take a lula for me, it's a mitzvah shebegufo. So, I have to stop my learning, and that's kol chafatzecha. You don't stop learning for a football, but you do stop learning for chafetz Hashem. Chafatzecha lishuva v'chafetz Hashem. By the way, outside of this Gemara, not in terms of the calculus of Torah and mitzvahs, it's just an important concept. When you're planning your life, and you're planning what you want to do, like that was the big revolution in my mind. If you interviewed me 2 months before I came to Gush, I don't remember who I was, it was so transformative. What do you want to do? How will you choose a profession? Basically, the factors in my mind were how much money I'll make, how much time I'll have to learn Torah. If you told me that I could sell hot pretzels at Madison Square Garden and make $1 million, I would have done that. What do you mean? I enjoy it, make a lot of money, I only have to come to Knick games a couple times a week. Great, why not? And all of a sudden, Rav Aaron was like, what about Tzarchei Tzibur? And what about the value of the job? And what about, it wasn't just about Torah, by the way. Or psychology, social work, medicine, like you talked about Tikkun Olam. That's a tough thing, right? Don't choose only Tikkun Olam because you have to enjoy your job. And Tikkun Olam isn't only in social work medicine. You can do a lot of Tikkun Olam in other areas. But just, not tell you what job to choose, what profession. When you think about a profession, all of a sudden, it was like new to me. But that's something I really have to consider. Part of being a firm yid is I don't just choose to make as much money as I can and leave as much time, that if I want to live an integrated life of Yiddishkeit, an integrated life of Hashem, then I have to find some religious meaning for the 8, Now it's 14 hours a day that you'll spend at work. Or else you're living schizophrenic. And at work, that's a religiously neutral zone. Then I come and daven and I learn, that's why I'm religious at home, whatever. And that's right. There are three zones to your life. Your home, Beis Medrash and Beis Knesses, and work. Can you ordinate them in descending order of time? You spend most time, unfortunately, today's world at work. Second most time at home. I mean, waking hours. Third most time in Beis Medrash. So if you are only able to infuse the Beis Medrash and the Beis Knesses with religion, you're going to lead a very, very religiously narrow life. Because you only feel firm for the hour or two a day you're in shul and the hour or two a day you're able to learn. How can you say that every part of my life is Avodas Hashem in different ways? When I'm home, I'm the best husband, best father. When I'm at work, what job am I taking? How can I, whatever, the very, very minimum, work hard, work honestly, but hopefully your job is, yes, my tafkid now is to be a doctor. My tafkid now is to be a social. My tafkid is to be a psychologist. My tafkid now, whatever, you become a corporate lawyer. How can that be seen as a tafkid of Tikkun Olam? But that was like revolutionary to me. I never thought of it. And one of the sub-variables that Rav Aaron gave us, and not just to think morally, and this is what led me to Chinuch, is what is Iyab Shalasa Seyde Echer? And it's not just an objective moral bingo board. Like, what's the highest moral value? But like, what does our world need? Need is part of moral compulsion. Like, what do we need? So you could say, let's say for argument's sake, you come to the conclusion, I'm just giving you a hypothetical, become a doctor is a super moral job. But let's say your world is super saturated with doctors and less with psychologists. And assuming you feel that you could, you know, more or less serve in each capacity. That should also be a compelling figure. It's not just what you evaluate, but also need, because need is morality, because you're serving people. And to me, you know, that sweet spot was infinite. I felt like the world needed more mechanchim, that was a moral approach. I said, love learning Torah. But no, I'm just giving you value, but like, this never entered in my calculus. My calculus was, if I can sell shmatas and become rich, that's what I'm going to do. And I believe that's what accounts for a high percentage of Kush guys here, because you hear these values being passed on to you from us, who heard them from our rabbis. It's why a high value going to Chedek, or in general, into types of roles, I don't know if they were leadership, but types of roles that are either helping communities move forward, or at the very least, that are helping people on a daily basis. Right? I don't know the facts and figures, but and maybe you know the fundraising department of the shul would be upset. I don't know how many Gush guys enter business. Like, I don't know how many Gush guys go to Sysim school just to you know open a business. And it's just not in the water here. We want you to start thinking in different terms. And you know, even though more guys enter business, you should do better financially, whatever. It's not our purpose here. So this is said about Torah and mitzvahs, but I want you to think about it as a moral value in planning your life. What is a moral way I can choose for a profession? And part of that moral equation is, what is if it's Efshalai Dehecherim, so maybe I don't need it. And obviously, you can create attention, because why are other people doing it? Because it's very popular. It's very financially rewarding. So you may create that internal attention, right? Why are there so many X's in the world? Because it's an easy profession, whatever. So you may have to choose, or you may want to choose. Don't feel forced to choose, because then you'll have a very, very bad and sorrowful life. But you may say, you know, I'm going to choose something that fewer people are doing, because it has this, that, and the other as natural limitations, inhibitors, but I feel like that will give me more meaning and more moral idealism and whatever. Okay? So anyway, but getting back to a regularly scheduled program, and getting back to the Gemara, these are the two Gemaras that support Rashi. When Rashi was learning this sugya, he felt that Bava Kamma should be prioritized over Kiddushin, and Kiddushin should be contextualized to sound like Bava Kamma. Hear what I just said? Bava Kamma tells us the supreme value, mitzvahs. Kiddushin is contextualized. It's not the supreme value, it's just development of what you should do, and maybe as I early in your life and not. Because Rashi felt that the general calculus of Shas supports a hierarchy where mitzvahs is superior to Tav. Which general calculus of Shas? These Gemaras. That if me, I'm not dead, Baruch Hashem, I'm not young, so I'm a regular test case. It's not like I'm the special case of Kiddushin, and I'm, Baruch Hashem, still living. So if you ask me, I'm learning Torah, should I stop to do a mitzvahs? Yes. By the way, also you, even when you're young, but that's a different story. Okay? What's the problem with Rashi's world, aside from Kiddushin? What does Rashi not account for? Can anyone pick it out? It's very, very subtle. Everything makes sense. What's more important? Maisa. More than Talmud Torah. In the end, my mitzvahs, I don't want to give away too much. I'm just trying to take back words. Mitzvahs are more important than Talmud Torah. And that's why if you're learning, stop and do a mitzvah. Nacha mitzvah, right? Just a nacha mitzvah. The pasuk's like Rashi. Mitzvah sounds like a Marian Kiddush. Another mitzvah, right? Chap another mitzvah. Another mitzvah. I don't know the names on that.
More Cheshire.
Okay, so he yells like Rashi. Right, next time you hear the song, he'll lumbicize it. You know, when you get to the Beit Tam tomorrow, you'll rechange the song. You know, just like you know the Brisker's change of Nachman's song, Mitzvah Gedol Liyos B'Simcha. What are Brisker saying? Chas V'Shalom is singing Nachman, right? Mitzvah Gedol Liyos B'Mitzvah Liyos B'Mitzvah. God forbid you should go out of your lane a little bit. Stop it, guys. It's a beautiful grand highway of Yiddishkeit. Go from lane to lane. Don't lose your lane, but ready from other lanes. Okay? You can say Mitzvah Gedol Liyos B'Simcha, won't kill you. Okay? It's always such a super Brisker. Okay, so you know, you're going to change the song. Chop another daf. See tomorrow, Beit Tam. Okay. And Kiddushin wasn't talking about evaluation. It was talking about you, what to do. Maybe you, maybe you're at a young age. Everything makes sense. What doesn't? What does Rashi not account for? A little subtle point.
Running toward an old age.
No. He's still the mitzvahs. If Maisa is a supreme value and it beats Talmud Torah, not beats, but it's superior, then why isn't it superior to teaching Torah? Because we still have something we'll only say for the all-stars at their Hesped. And what is that? It's not Talmud Torah because that's less than Maisa. But what will we say for the all-stars at their Hesped? They taught. Wait a second. If Maisa is superior to learning because it's a mitzvah, why isn't it superior to teaching? If we've already crowned Meisim, right? Or said otherwise, if I'm teaching Torah now, Yoni, and let's say I forgot to say Kriya Shema this morning, and it's a minute before Zman Kriya Shema, which by the way, guys, not anyone here, but people who may not be here, it's a little bit early these days, about 8:39, 8:40, something like that, so just, you're on the clock, literally. It's a mitzvah deraisa. Anyone forget to take lulav, you know, oh, yeah, I slept through lulav. You miss it. It's finished. Go on. So remember, I haven't had the chance to say this to boys. You see, normally I prowl the first 2 months looking out for guys who are oversleep, not to catch them and to punish them, but to say this should never, ever again happen in your life. There's a yeshivish way to sleep late. Seriously, it's a good chance to say this. What do I mean? Well, how's it been, Tara, sleep late? Because there are times you have to sleep late. You had a hard night. You had diarrhea at night. You couldn't sleep at night. You were jet-lagged, whatever. There are a million times in your life you're going to fall asleep and not make it. There should be a little clock inside of you that says the following. Tick-tock, tick-tock, Zman Kriya Shema, Zman Kriya Shema. And what do? Practically, you force yourself out of bed for 15 minutes. And I'm not talking about the macro issues. You force yourself out of bed, with diarrhea maybe not, but you put on tefillin, say Kriya Shema, Shemona Esrei, 15, 20 minutes, and then you go and sack out. Now, hopefully, I'm talking about really, really bad cases. Obviously, most cases, you're tired. You get up and daven, you get some sleep. There are cases where you're basically lost. You know, you had surgery. Again, you're conscious, obviously. You didn't sleep in 2 days straight. You're literally falling apart. Literally, your body can't possibly get up and daven for 40 minutes. Okay, but you can do it. Again, there are cases you can do 50 minutes, obviously, if you're in a coma, chas v'shalom, or sedated. But I'm saying, assuming you are not in a completely, completely broken state, there's a little clock going on in your head. I need to sleep. But it's 8:30, it's 8 o'clock. You don't sleep to 10. Ben Tara never, ever, ever sleeps to 10. He wakes up for 10, 15 minutes, then sleeps to 10 or to 11 or whatever you need. I'm not talking about the sleep you need. I'm talking about the ability to get up. Meet Zman Kriya Shema, but Mekayim Mitzvah. Again, in theory, you can get up twice. It's just easier not to, right? In theory, say, oh, get up once for Kriya Shema, and then go back to sleep for another hour. Then I got once for Zman Tefillah. Okay, but just, you're up already. Say Kriya Shema, Berachas Kriya Shema, Yavrach Shamar, Ashrei Yishtabach, Kriya Shema, it's 10 minutes. You don't have to have Kavana. You should have Kavana for the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. You don't have to have long winded. It's not Masif of Yom Kippur. You know what you're saying? You get up there, you daven, go to Shparcha, then you sack out to sleep. Believe me, I've been on planes where my head's spinning because I'm literally under pills and under, medication, sleeping pills. And when you fly from America, I'm not talking about South Africa, guys, when you fly from America, you think you have a lot of time to daven. You haven't flown that often. You have a very, very small window. There's actually an app that you can see when the window. And I think LL started to show you that small window because you're flying into the day. So you're taking off at, 11 o'clock at night. I see people, get into their pajamas and stretch and get into their t-shirts and go to sleep for 7 hours. 7 o'clock, get up and daven. But 7 o'clock is already 12:30 when you're flying over Italy or Greece or something because you're flying into the day. So you're moving ahead. So you really have a very small window. And in fact, there's actually an app that if your flight is delayed by 10 minutes, it shows you how the window gets even smaller. So if you're delayed, and sometimes that's why I hate those night flights, because you mamish don't sleep. You get 2 hours of sleep, then you get up, go back to sleep. Good luck with that. Yes.
I believe that on the actual map app, on like the map of the seat, you can hit for
So, Baruch Hashem, there's firm ownership of Eli, the friend of mine. So, I don't get any luxuries, by the way. We're old friends, but so Baruch Hashem, you have all the needs. Anyway, getting back to what I said before. Okay, this is really, really important. No one's telling you need to not sleep. My body breaks, your body breaks, bodies break. When your bodies break, you need to sleep. I'm not talking about the guys who are sleeping now. Your body's not breaking. You're tired. It's great. Go to sleep now. I'm talking about the cases where your mom is, you know, your body's not working. So your body's not working. You get up, Shema Esrei, you do it, and you go back to sleep. Okay, that has to be something that you ram into. It's like Mitzvah Daraisa, right? I don't feel good today, I'll miss the loop. I don't feel good today, I'll miss Matzah. Like, I don't feel good today, but don't film. Shema is a mitzvah that ends at a certain point, and right now it's ending pretty quick. Right? It ends at like 8:40 or whatever, you can like 8:43 or something, right? Okay, so it ends pretty quick, so that's something you have to drill into yourself. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so why is teaching Torah a higher value than mitzvos in Rashi's universe? If mitzvos were fixed as a supreme value, even more important than Talmud, then okay, maybe for young kids we'll say learn because we'll get you to mitzvot, but if we have to evaluate what's the highest value, it's mitzvos, and mitzvos surpasses Talmud Torah, then why doesn't it surpass teaching Torah? What do you think?
Could teaching Torah be like a super mice?
Could be a mice itself, very good. Another reason, anyone's at that's what some Rishonim said, I forgot who, but
exactly.
I was too busy with Meissen yesterday. What does another Rishon say? Why teaching Torah is superior to Meissen?
At least many mini Meissen.
hopefully all the Torah we study in this room will lead to your Meissen open. So not just is it a Meissen itself, I suppose. Because what you're saying, Alex, makes sense, but it's a little shaky. Like, what do you call teaching a Meissen and learning not?
I was saying teaching is super nice because you get the benefit of the Torah, but you also are teaching it so that the
Talmidim... Right, so it's worth telling. But it could also be that even if you, let's say you came into this room and you're super in mitzvahs, and my teaching is never going to change your mitzvah. Could the act of teaching itself be more of a maisa than the act of learning? That's what I saw in Sam Rishon.
I think what you're saying is the act of teaching is more because it's both a maisa and it's also a limud itself.
Why is it a maisa?
Because...
Why is what I'm doing now more of a maisa than what you'll be doing in 40 minutes when I end shift? 10 minutes when I end shift? You're going to be up in the base medish. You're going to be working intellectually, cognitively, working to get every one of you. Why is that more of a maisa than what I'm doing now? Or is it less of a maisa than what I'm doing now? What Adir said is no, because when you're learning mitzvahs, you're not necessarily going to lead to other people doing mitzvahs. What I'm doing now, I'm hopefully going to spur your mitzvahs. But we're trying to say that the act of teaching is itself defined as mitzvah. So what do you think, Yosef?
It's to teach.
It's a mitzvah to learn.
The purpose is less for yourself.
Okay, so morally I get more points, but we're not asking moral superior, we're asking what's defined as a mitzvah. If the highest value is mitzvah, Zarya, and to reach that pinnacle, you have to put on a Maisa outfit. Why is teaching closer to Maisa? So the truth is I should have been more paid. You say, no, I don't have to go through Maisa. Limud is a higher, but we don't have, where do you get that from? Where do you get that Limud is better if you don't stream it through Maisa? If I establish Maisa as the highest value, higher than Talmud Torah, so I can get to that highest pinnacle by turning it into Maisa. You're trying to create some new model that Limud is more important than Maisa. Like, where do we see that? There's nothing more to suggest that. Jesse?
Maybe you could say that Maisa and Talmud Torah is for you specifically, but Limud is for others.
And therefore it's a Maisa?
Or it's a Maisa. Right,
right. That's what Isaiah was saying. Where do we get that from? What do you think, Gabi?
The Torah says, Vishinantim.
Is the okay, so you're like a balatosis, make up your own drasha. Right. It's true, but
then we said,
right, right. But I don't have it. But the Gemara never says, oh, limud is greater because kidichse vishinanta. Having established the supremacy of Maisa, even above Talmud Torah, and then saying, but limud is greater, tell me why. If the Gemara doesn't tell me why, at least Rashi should tell me why. That's why I'm stuck in this conservative, minimal stance. Okay, I can make limud better than Maisa if it's Maisa plus. If I first frame it as Maisa, like Nadir did, and that doesn't mean it burns, it's also Lima. So it's the trifecta, whatever. It's a daily double. But we're trying to create a separate track. No, no, no. In the regular hierarchy, mitzvahs are greater. But there's like some alternate hierarchy where Lima is... Don't get me wrong. I like teaching Torah. That's what I chose in my life. But I also like being intellectually honest and like, where does it come from? Okay? Yes, Elio.
Could you say that it's like, it's kol everything? Meaning to teach, you have to have learned, and you're also mezakeh surrounding, like getting everybody to do my
sitting. Okay, but it's just a variation. Basically, the only way that I could prioritize in terms of a hesped lemur is I got to stream it through Maisa. I got to first Maisa-size it. I got to first turn it to some form of Maisa. Gavi is saying, and Isaiah was saying, and whatever, no, I can create some alternate purpose for being superior. Okay, but where does that appear? We have all these things could be correct, but we're still stuck in the same duality. Either you stream it through Maisa, or you just make it important in the penalty, which you don't have to come out. Avi. Right. I'm signed up, guys. You don't have to give me, you're preaching to the choir. Can't we go around the room till 1 o'clock and talk about the beauty of teaching Torah? Okay. Where is it? Where's it in the choir? Was talked about in Beit Liz. Okay, they're talking about kids there in that attic. Okay, but wasn't talked about. How can you just say it? Like, tell me a reason. If there's some other reason. So I'm stuck. Either I use the calculus that Gemara provides and I convert it into Maisa, or I build my own calculus. Where does it show up? Yes, you saw that.
It's probably more told to sort of Maisa, but there's also some on the previous comment that says that from Dan to Ershav, everybody can do the halachos of Haftum and Tara. So that's a spread of Torah that could change the entire culture through his actions.
So it's mega Maisa. It's not just that I'm teaching the boys in this room to do more mice and tovim, but by teaching Torah, the world or the communities, the nations, moral integrity will rise and will lead to a world of more organic and holistic mice, not just the inspiration. Okay, it's the mice route. Yes, everyone's waking up. Yes.
It's selfless.
That's still, okay, where do we see selflessness as a variable that will affect supremacy? Like, I can talk about it from today until tomorrow, but the calculus the Gemara builds with mice at the top doesn't say, but Talmud Torah, you know, teaching Torah is like, I agree it is, but I can't say it without a source. Yes?
Just practically, like when you learn Torah yourself, you don't actually have to do a mice, you can just think about it. Whereas when you're teaching Torah, you actually have to do a mice.
That's what I said in the beginning, there's a mice of speaking, right? But what I'm doing right now is more, but I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me. Come on. You guys, let's say I'm just here giving a share or whatever. And you guys in the basement are working your tails off. As I know you will. Like, you know, not only anything yet. Like, who's doing more of a mindset? It's not gauge in physical exertion. It's gaze in immersion. See, how's that? Sorry.
You said that outside the fact that it's Torah, it's also a chesed. Let's say it was just, like, not Torah, like,
illness,
and there's
right.
A teacher who's doing
the chesed. Right, yeah, for it's a mice of chesed. Right, I saw that somewhere. I think I told that. Okay, anyway, this is Shita's Rashi, okay? The strength of Rashi is that the meta-calculus of Shas, Maisa is better, you stop Torah to learn Maisa, that's the Baba Kama saying, we can't imagine a world in which everyone gets the Maisa praise, it just gets the Talmud Torah praise, that's reverse, that's counterintuitive. Condition that says, Talmud Gadol, Talmud Adol, means, okay, now learn so that you can do Maisa, you have both, you have a better Maisa, and maybe only at certain stages in your life. Beinu Tam argues. Beinu Tam says that Kiddushin, I'll just give you the platform, then we can continue. Kiddushin is the paradigm. Talmud Adif. Rabbeinu Tam. What's the most important mitzvah? Learning. Not mitzvahs. What about your grandfather? I disagree with him. Not the first time, not the last time. Chalukas Rashi and his grandson Rabbeinu Tam. What is the supreme value? Rashi was a chosid. Rabbeinu Tam was a brisker. Just putting it into common parlance. Rabbeinu Tam came to Gush, okay? Let's learn lambdas. It's a pretty big lambda. I wish he could be here, right? I'd be out of a job. So would everyone else in the building. He can give shir hey, shir dalet, shir gimel, shir hey. Everyone's shut down. But if I'm giving shir, we all become talmidim. Okay, I have to pay tuition. Like everyone else. Okay, so Beinu Tam says, Gemara, learning, Talmud, highest value. That's what they're talking about. Yudhishthira wasn't talking practically. Yudhishthira was talking about essentially. So what was the Gemara's problem here? What was the problem? Oh my goodness. The superlative praise of Chizkiah is that he learned and everyone gets the praise of Kiyam. That makes sense, right? According to Beinu Tam, we'll just draw the calculus on the board so you can see it. Beinu Tam's calculus is going from left to right.
mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, Limud Torah. That's his character, as opposed to Rashi. So it makes sense. This is the cutoff point. This is the Hesbay for regular people. This is the Hesbay for Chizkiyah plus. Like, what was the problem? Why did we have to even talk about Limud? Like, forget Limud. Some other girl talk about Tishin Kara. Great boys in my shul will give 100 different stars why teaching is so great, you'll become rabbis. It's a shem, it's a shem. It's a shem, alabai, 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 but whatever. And they're like, what's the problem? So the Vein of Tam says the problem in Baba Kama was inferential. How could you have a world in which regular people go, they did mitzvahs, and the super praise for Chizkiyah he learned Torah? Wait a second, if you did mitzvahs, and that's what we talk about, it's your hesped. And what are we inferring or implying? You know how to do them. And if, how do you know how to do them? You live. So like they're not exclusive. They're a little more sticky than you thought. They stick to each other. Okay, let's plan a world in which the regular Joes, they get, oh, he did mitzvahs. Chizkiyah, he learned. Okay, that makes sense in an abstract world where you're just trying to assign values that this equals 10, that equals 9, so the Talmud Torah is more important. But by telling about someone in his life when he dies, right, one of these lines again, and I don't want you to think about this too much because you're young, but David Brooks, anyone know who David Brooks is? A columnist for the New York Times? I like reading this, very good column. He quotes himself, Eichel a lot. He's not Jewish, but maybe like a Jewish paternal, but he's not halachically Jew. Very articulate writer. I don't think he writes anymore. He once said, there are two types of ways to lead your life. Build a resume or build an obituary. Not in a morbid way, but it's like, you know, resumes come and go. They're just practical, getting a job, not getting a job. Believe me, everything you're going to do in college is only necessary for X, X being your first job. X plus one, they could care less what you did in college. So look at your first job. So all the investment you're making, at least professionally, you could say I want to go to this college, that college for enrichment, whatever, but professionally, all that investment is just to get to X. Once you get to X, and you guys are going to change jobs a lot more frequently than we did, because that's today's world, X plus one is not going to look at, you know, what you did in T in college. They're going to look at what you did at X. They're going to care less, right? Because they're like a draft pick, right? Go figure how to project success in college to success in the workforce. Good luck with that. And they could care less how your marks are. You can rip up your transcript after your first job. Don't be worried about marks. You just got to get that first job, and then do well at your first job, second job, third job, whatever that is. So all that is like level. We invest so much in something that's just a springboard to like a very, very temporary stage in life. So your resume, okay, I was talking about school resumes, your overall body of work or your obituary, right? When you pass away, your resume becomes meaningless. Your obituary becomes the definition of your life. Okay, so again, I don't really think about when you die. I was trying to get this long-term, open your mind to like not think about the here and now and the social pressures that come with the here and now, but learning to escape the social pressures and the professional pressures, the cultural pressures, long-term. Open your eyes, long-term. Think, flex your mind, flex your imagination. Okay? So Vein of Tam says, you're right, Talmud Torah is more important than mitzvahs, but by saying that your average Joe did mitzvahs, you're implying that he learned Torah, so it's an equivalent, right? Oh, so-and-so did mitzvahs. It means he learned. But Chizkiyah learned. So you haven't created any offset for Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah and his league have to still have something surpassing, because everyone is going to get the Talmud Torah inferentially by saying they perform mitzvahs. So Kiddushin is the norm. According to Rashi, Bava Kam is the norm. Mitzvahs are greater, Kiddushin is the outlier. Even though mitzvahs are greater, we tell people to still learn, or young people to still learn. The Vein of Tam flips the switch. The Vein of Tam says, no. What's the norm? Torah being more important than mitzvahs. That's happening in Kiddushin. Bava Kama was not talking about what's important. Bava Kama was just, we got a problem. We got a logical inconsistency here. I know what the hierarchy is, but by creating different leagues of Hespedim, you haven't maintained supremacy for the Chizkiyah League. It's like saying, okay, you sit in business class, and you sit wherever you want. Okay, I'm sitting in business class. Okay, so if everyone can crowd business class, no one. So you will say you learned, they will just say you did misses. And everyone's in business class, you did misses, everyone's a learner. So what's the special praise we tell the Chizkiyah type people? To which the Gemara answers, mitzvahs are less than Talmud Torah. And for every person we'll say mitzvahs, and you know, we'll infer or imply Talmud Torah. Chizkiyah will say something which is Torah on steroids. What's Torah on steroids? Teaching. And we now know what teaching is better, because if
Torah is more important than mitzvahs, what's a higher grade of Torah? Teaching Torah, because you're learning and teaching. That's an obvious. In Rashi's calculus, we didn't have the answer to that, because Torah was less than mitzvahs. So if Torah is less than mitzvahs, how do you graduate teaching above mitzvahs? That was our elusive answer. We spent 20 minutes in this room, because the calculus didn't stack up. If mitzvahs are better than Torah, how do you leapfrog mitzvahs? By teaching Torah. Okay, we have millions of answers, but tell us something. Whereas in Meir Tam's calculus, Torah is more important than mitzvahs. So what's even more important than Torah? Logical flow is teaching Torah. That makes a ton of sense in Rabbeinu Tam. We'll have to see why in Rabbeinu Tam. This is Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Bava Kamma was just a logical counterintuition. Like, how could you say, oh, Chizkiah gets the learning praise and regular Joes get the mitzvahs praise? Mitzvahs infers, implies learning. So like, you haven't really created space. The answer is, okay, the space is not in Torah and mitzvahs, the space is Talmud Torah, the teaching Torah. Okay. Of course, what's the train collision about to happen in Rabbeinu Tam? What metal logic seems to contradict Rabbeinu Tam's ordination that Torah is more important than mitzvahs? If Torah is more important than mitzvahs, then if you're learning Torah, don't do a mitzvah. Chap a Torah, don't chap a mitzvah. You know what chap is, right? Grab. I'll teach you guys Yiddish. So I'll have to see how the Rabbeinu Tam solves this problem. And how Rav Lichtenstein solved the problem. There is Pshat Rav Lichtenstein, which already predates Rav Meshech Chachma. That's what we'll do tomorrow. We'll read carefully in Rabbeinu Tam, like why teaching is more important than learning, not more important, but in a higher grade. We will ask this question, which I just asked, and answer it. And then we'll see, from completely out of nowhere, the Shilta Sashita, which tells this case. Three different ways to read the Sugya. Because the Gemara is very vague. The phrase is vague. Gabi is important because he helps Henry. Going to Rashi means Henry is more important. Going to Rabbeinu Tam, no, Gabi is more important. The A is more important than the B is, because it's a very awkward phrase. A is so important and it leads to B. Is it because it leads to B, or A is important? And by the way, also happens to lead to B, but A has its own inherent value. So there's a lot of nooks and crannies in the sugya, which makes this not just an existentially interesting sugya, this is a very, very methodologically interesting sugya, how you make all the pieces fall into place. Okay? You have the Makaros. Got to go through some Maisim. Hopefully we'll be back in an hour or so, depending upon the lines in the supermarket. Mirtz Hashem. But you have your Makaros, and we'll continue with this. Mirtz Hashem. Okay?